Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters.
Keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. Good afternoon, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And on today's show, we're going to be talking about football as two local players and one coach will be representing Fort McMurray in a provincial summit series. But before we get into that, joining me over the phone right now is Christine Godwin, who is with Owl Moon Environmental Incorporated. And Christine, I appreciate you taking a couple minutes, and we're going to be talking about birds and how the bird count that your organization does is helping, I guess, just understand the recovery of the boreal forest from the Horse River wildfire. Maybe just to start off, can you just give us a little bit of background about you and your organization?
So I'll give you a little bit of background on myself and Ken. We have our own company here in Fort McMurray, Owl Moon Environmental, and we've been operating a songbird population monitoring program since 2011. And that program involves bird banding, so we put bands on songbirds, and that as part of the process, we not only identify them to species, but we age them and we sex them, we determine their health condition. And with that information, we can determine a lot about the bird populations and how they're doing throughout the region. The purpose of the program is primarily to understand the impacts of the oil industry on birds, but of course we've got other things happening in the region, other impacts on habitat, and so we're able to get a pretty broad sense of what's going on with the bird populations in the region.
Okay. What was the bird count like maybe before the wildfires, since that's what we're talking about today? Was it, I guess, a healthy population? I don't know if you have any numbers to kind of share with us.
You know, the numbers are quite variable, and it's really hard to just put a number to these things. I mean, we catch thousands of birds every year, just to give you a sense. But when you normalize that across the stations and across all the effort that goes into it, is that a good number? Is that a bad number? It really depends. But from the perspective of the program that we're operating, it's been good. The birds, they seem to be rather healthy in the region, and the populations have been really abundant across the years. So, yeah, we were quite pleased with the results of the program. And thought that what we were seeing was quite exciting from the standpoint that we thought the birds were doing well.
Okay, and cue the Horse River wildfire, and I think it's safe to say that the bird counts that happened, I don't know if you did one in 2016, but either in 2017 or 2018, is it safe to say that the numbers were quite low compared to the previous years, or am I wrong on this?
When we were allowed back into Fort McMurray after the wildfires, so that was early June 2016, we immediately started to implement our program, not knowing, you know, what access was going to be like, where we could go, what we were going to find. And of the 30-some-odd stations that we operate in the region, we had 5 stations that burned to varying degrees. And we were able to get in and band at 4 of those in 2016, and all 5 on and off throughout the last several years. So we got a good sense of what happened at the burn sites and how those stations are recovering. And immediately after the fire, so right in June 2016, the numbers of birds that were using those habitats, the burn habitats, predictably declined. There were very few around. Didn't mean that we weren't finding birds. We certainly did find birds in those habitats, but not nearly as many as what were there before the fire. In the years since, we've been watching that the vegetation come back, especially in the aspen and the mixed wood stands. The aspen, the growth of the aspen has been very fast, and it's very dense at present in some of the mixed wood and aspen forests. Surprisingly so. I never really appreciated how quickly aspen would regenerate. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing the birds come back just as quickly. So within about 3-4 years, we started to see the same numbers of birds that we were catching before the fire. And that was in the, like I said, the aspen and mixedwood stands. In the coniferous forest, these regenerate much, much more slowly. And we're not seeing the recovery there nearly as quickly. So the coniferous stands are going to take a lot longer before they're fully regenerated again.
Okay, so I'm not familiar, with that. I would say it's a term, but for our listeners who maybe aren't as knowledgeable in this as you, can you just kind of share a little bit more about maybe that section? And like, I know about the aspen section. I'm assuming that's a big part of the boreal forest. How big of a part is this other section of the boreal forest?
Of course, the coniferous forests are actually more abundant than your aspen forest. So that coniferous would be your black spruce, your white spruce, your box, some of the pine stands. So all of your evergreen trees. And because they're very slow-growing trees, it takes a very long time for them to regenerate. And the birds are not going to come back to those habitats nearly as quickly.
Okay, so I guess that's somewhat predictable, but were you surprised how fast the birds had come back when we're talking about, you know, our aspen trees?
We were. We were expecting certain birds to come back to the burned forest. So sparrows, for example, they are early successional species. They prefer the younger forest, the younger habitats. And as expected, we did see a lot more sparrows, whereas before the fire in those habitats, we were catching more warblers. But over the years, as the vegetation has been regenerating, we are starting to see more and more warblers return to these habitats. And the numbers of sparrows are starting to drop off a little bit because they continue to look for the new, the early successional habitats. And so to see the warblers come back in the numbers that we are seeing them is really interesting.
I'm curious, when talking about other species, were there some that you saw before the fire that haven't returned?
Interesting question. Actually, the numbers of species and the species that we see across the region haven't really changed that much. The species tend to move around a lot,
yeah.
And so depending on the condition of the habitat, you might find some species in one habitat patch, while other species will occupy different habitat patches. But in the burned forests, what we were finding, especially with birds that were returning, we did have some birds that were banded before the fire, and then when we went back in after the fire in the years since, we're recatching some of those same birds. So they are returning to the forests that they were breeding in before the fire. And this includes birds like flycatchers. So we have alder flycatchers and least flycatchers in the region. Thrushes, those include robins and Swainson's thrushes, your black-capped chickadees, red-eyed vireos, a number of warbler species are very common as well. And they're beautiful birds, so morning warblers, yellow warblers. And of the sparrows, we've got a number of sparrow species that prefer older forests as well, and they are just abundant everywhere. So your white-throated sparrows, people, if you ever listen to the call of a white-throated sparrow, you'll hear them everywhere. And they're returning quite rapidly to these burned forests as well. And then we're starting to see some of those, the sparrows that prefer the earlier successional habitats, the clay-colored sparrows, the Lincoln sparrows, those are the ones we would expect to see right after the fire. Those birds are starting to, the abundance of those birds is starting to drop a little bit in the burned forest now.
Once again, that was Christine Godwin with Owl Moon Environmental Incorporated talking about how the bird count is helping just recognize the growth of the boreal forest since the Horse River wildfire. We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to be talking about football, as two local players as well as a coach will be representing Fort McMurray in an Alberta Summit Series.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, before the break, we had a chance to talk about the local bird count and how it's helping, I guess, just recognize the growth of the boreal forest since the Horse River wildfire. Now, joining me over Zoom are three individuals to talk about football, as we have two players and one coach who will be representing Fort McMurray in the Football Alberta Summit Series. We have Max Ramirez, who has been named to the under-17 team, and Robbie Buffalo, who's been named to the under-18 team, and we have the Fort McMurray Saints wide receiver coach, Devontae Hobbs. So, guys, I appreciate you taking a couple of minutes to come on the show. So let's just start off with Max. You were the last person to connect to the Zoom call, so I'm going to pick on you first. For our listeners, just give our listeners a heads up about how you found out that you made the team.
My mother, she just sent me the link to the website where it showed the rosters, and so I just looked at running back and I saw my name there, and that's how I found out I made it.
I'm curious, was your mom the one who was refreshing the page all the time, just waiting to see if you had made it, or were you just kind of all nonchalant and just, I'm curious, how did that actually play out?
She got the email. She got an email that I had made the team.
Okay. Just your thoughts. Obviously, a big honor. You're going to be playing up against some of the best talent under 17 across the province. Just, you know, what does it mean to be a part of that team and to be considered one of the top young talents in the province?
It's an amazing feeling. Like, I love football. It's my favorite thing in the entire world. And just being able to play with all those guys, the best athletes in the province and stuff. And I'm just, like, I'm happy to be on the team. Represent Fort McMurray.
I'm curious, so I got a little bit of a bio of you, and I know that you're a running back, and before we were talking a little bit off air that your favorite player is Russell Wilson. I was expecting a running back, but he's practically a running back. He does everything. I'm curious, what kind of running back are you? You know, the typical, like, you know, power running back, or do you like to consider yourself a dual threat, maybe a receiving, you know, threat? What kind of running back are you?
I'd like to consider myself an elusive running back. I'm at best whenever I'm able to, you know, get into like the one-on-one plays where I can be able to make someone miss or beat them with speed. But at the same time, I also do consider myself a bit like stronger too, because I can also take hits and stuff. I don't get hurt very easy. So,
all right.
Yeah, I'm more of an agile running back.
Now, I'm curious, Max, how many running backs made the team?
Oh, there was, I think, three, me and two other guys from the North squad. There's just three of us.
Again, I know that there's a lot of players. I'm assuming that the North squad includes Edmonton. Is that correct?
Yeah, Edmonton and just around that area.
Okay, so obviously there's a lot of students and a lot of talent in Edmonton, but the fact that we got a Fort Mac kid on there, you know, as one of the three running backs, that must be, you know, just a special special honor for you.
Yeah, it's awesome. You know, I love the position of running back. I love getting the ball, and it's great to be one of the guys from Fort McMurray.
All right. Well, let's move over to Robbie. And Robbie, you're under, or I guess you've been named to the under-18 team. Maybe just to start off again, same question I asked Max. How did you find out you had made the team?
I actually got the same email he got, and I checked under it, the website, and there was four different roster links. And I actually clicked the U-17 North one. So I was scrolling to the defensive line. I didn't see my name, and I was so devastated. And then I was like, oh, my goodness, this is U-17. And then I clicked the right link, and I was screaming with joy as soon as I saw my name.
Again, just like I asked Max, what was your reaction going from devastation where you didn't see your name to, I'm assuming, you know, I'm trying to think of a good word, but, you know, just what was the thoughts when you finally saw your name, when you were actually using the right link?
I just got out of the shower and I was in the bathroom. I literally just screamed, yeah, I kind of got yelled at after that, but I couldn't control it, you know?
You scare the crap out of your grandma?
Yeah.
So, again, just like with Max, I know that you are a defensive end. And off air, we were talking about your favorite player, and you had mentioned Aaron Donald with the LA Rams, arguably just the best all around defensive play in the NFL right now. Do you mold your game maybe after him? I know that's quite tough because he literally, it seems like he could probably take, you know, three guys on at once and still get to the quarterback. But I see what kind of, how do you see yourself, you know, can you describe yourself as a player, I guess?
Aaron Donald, for his size, he's definitely really, really, really fast. And I feel like that's one of my strengths as a defensive lineman. You know, a lot of defensive linemen in my class are definitely more stocky or small and not as fast. But I feel like I'm pretty well-rounded in that aspect as for my size and strength and as well as my speed.
I'm curious. It seems like offensive players in the NFL get all the glory. They're the ones who are mostly scoring the touchdowns, the ones who are running the ball in, catching, throwing it in. But I love watching some good defensive football. Can you maybe just share, you know, just the, you know, just how pumped you are when you can get that sack and get that big play on defense to get the ball back to your offense?
It's crazy. You know, at half the time you don't even think you have the right guy because it happens so quick. Because like especially on zone read or something, there's two different guys going two different ways, so you just kind of have to guess and hopefully you got the right guy and you don't look stupid. Because I definitely made a fool of myself a couple of times on those tryouts. Yeah.
We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to finish our talk with Max Ramirez, Robbie Buffalo, and Devontae Hobbs, as they will be representing Fort McMurray at the Football Alberta Summit Series.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over Zoom are three individuals who will be representing Fort McMurray in the Football Alberta Summit Series. We have Max Ramirez, who's been named to the under-17 team. We have Robbie Buffalo, who's been named to the under-18 team. And we also have FMCSD Saints wide receiver coach Devontae Hobbs, who's been named a coach for the under-17 squad. And before the break, we had a chance to hear from Max and Robbie. So, Devontae, I guess it's your turn. Again, I'm assuming the same kind of answer, but was it the email that you saw too when you found out that you had made the cut, or did you get a personal email saying that they wanted you to be on the coaching staff?
Well, I got an email saying they wanted me on the coaching staff. I was supposed to be on a coaching staff for Alberta Summer Games, but that didn't happen this past year because of the pandemic and everything. So they asked if I wanted the opportunity to coach U17, and I gladly accepted it. It's like a great honor to be recognized as one of those coaches to be able to teach and install my knowledge of what I know.
It sounds like your dogs are pumped just hearing about you going down.
Yeah, so I'm gonna get them to calm down for a second.
Oh, it's all good. Happy that, like I said, it sounds like the dogs are stoked for you. So
yeah, so I was very happy when I found out.
Now, was this something that you had put your name forward for, or was this something that they had reached you personally, again, with the summer games and with the Summit Series here?
So I did have to put in my name in the hat for this, and I did apply. So, like, for the summer games, I did get position, and then for this position, for U17, I just got, I guess I got my name just thrown out as a guy, one of the guys that should come out and do it, so...
Okay. I guess, you know, just your thoughts, being able to, be on the coaching staff. And obviously, I feel like it's probably a little bit different for the players, but at the same time, I'm sure it's just as exciting for you as well.
Oh, it's very exciting. You know, all the coaches that are there want to win, right? And we want to show that, like, you know, the North has a lot of talent compared to, like, the Southern teams and stuff like that. So we always want to, like, win. For me, it's just, like, an honor. Like I said, like, it's an honor to be recognized as one of those coaches that people can look to and say, like, he knows what he's talking about when you're playing football. Yeah.
So I'm curious, are you going to be the wide receiver coach for the team?
Yes, I am going to be the wide receiver coach for the team.
Maybe give us some tips for people who are maybe aren't part of the Saints. What makes a good wide receiver?
Great hands and great speed. Great hands and great speed make a great wide receiver. All good wide receivers have great speed or a good amount of speed and great hands. Like, if you look in the NFL or, like, even CFL, like, all the good receivers have great hands. They make all the tough catches. And that's what makes a great receiver.
Now, we see there are some maybe some older wide receivers, maybe some tight ends who obviously are good receivers. They get a little older, yeah. Their speed goes away, but they're usually pretty good because their hands are just are top notch. So is it safe to say maybe that the hands are maybe, both of them are super important, but is it safe to say that to maybe for a longevity, you need a little bit some better hands, maybe even speed?
Better hands. Hands takes you so far in the game, and also technique as well. That's like what happens when you get older. You have to learn your technique, know it down pat, so you know how to still get open and everything.
Now, talking off air, you mentioned that your favorite player to watch was Terrell Owens. Do you have maybe some of your wide receivers? Maybe look at some old T.O. Highlights just to kind of see how he did his job.
Sometimes I try to, like, mimic drills to, like, show, like, how T.O. Did some of his stuff. Even, like, Randy Moss is, like, another big guy, like, favorite wide receiver of mine. And we try to, like, mimic some of those drills and stuff so we could translate those style of play in-game.
All right. You ever had any of your wide receivers pull a T.O. and cry for the quarterback?
No. No, and I'm happy for that. That's not the best thing to do all the time.
I'm watching Max and Robbie's expressions, and either they just didn't care or they had no idea what I was talking about. But if you haven't, look it up, boys. All right. Well, before I let you go, I guess we'll just ask you, Devontae. When is the Summit Series taking place?
So our game this week, it's this weekend on the game Sunday. I think the U-17's game is at 4:30 and the U-18 game is at 7.
All right.
So,
all right. Well, Devontae, Robbie, Max, thanks so much for taking a couple minutes. Congratulations on making the team. And I know you guys are going to make Fort McMurray proud and prove to everyone, you know, south of town, that there's a lot of talent up here. So thanks again for coming up, or I guess coming on the show.
Thanks, thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Now that's all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters, but make sure to tune into Mix 103.7 every weekday at noon to hear the interviews that matter to you and your community. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and this has been Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode? Download the podcast at Mix1037FM.com.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.